Hello and welcome back to our latest edition of West Coast XC. I'm your host, Ken Martinez. This week is dedicated to the state meets of the West Coast, the high school state meets of the West Coast. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a subscribe button up there. If you could click on it, that'd be awesome. If you're out on a walk or running and or in your car, but don't get an accident, and you're listening to Apple Podcast or Spotify, please click on the follow button. We appreciate all the dedicated listeners and watchers of our episodes we do. We try to do every week. As I mentioned before, it is the state meets of all three states. In California, we have Coach Albert Kawana. He is the chief and editor of the Cross Country Express, but also the head coach at the Crystal Springs Uplands. He'll come on and talk about the athletes to look for in the distance races. Go up I-5, we'll talk to Thor Ebenson. He is the head coach at Ida B. Wells High School in Portland, Oregon. He's also known for organizing every Thursday on Zoom the Portland Coaches Social, where coaches talk about all kinds of topics from training to races and anything that has to do with running. And it's on Zoom, and so I'll put that his email address later on if you're interested in joining his Zoom every Thursday to talk about cross country and track. And then we continue up I-5 to Washington, and we talk to Dice Stats' Keenan Gray about the Washington distance runners at their state meet. And Keenan is known for starting the site Runner Wa, the Runner Wa, and then he got this new gig a few years ago at Dice Stat. But he is a diehard Washingtonian, loves his Huskies, loves his Bulldogs of Gonzaga, and he'll talk about the athletes in Washington. All three states have just amazing athletes that are doing great things, and we're excited to talk about them later in this episode. Last weekend, I went to the Track Fest at Sound Running at Occidental and watched some incredible races. I just want to point out two athletes that won their races. One was Kenneth Rooks. He won the steeplechase in 8:14.25. Kenneth Rooks last year won the silver medal at the Olympics. And I mentioned Kenneth Rooks because he's a West Coast athlete. In other words, he went to a high school in Washington, College Park, Washington, which is near Walla Walla. And also in the men's 5,000, Eduardo Herrera, known as Lalo, ran 12:58.57, broke that 13-minute barrier. Not very many athletes have done that. And Eduardo ran at Madera South in near Fresno, California. So two West Coast athletes. Claudia Kazmierski is from Poland, and she runs for the University of Oregon. We got to give her a shout-out, too. That is the West Coast also. And so it was great to see all those amazing athletes race this weekend among the many, many athletes at Occidental. And a quirk in the schedule, because the Occidental meet was in the evening, I looked at the calendar and said, wait, there's the CIF Masters meet. And so you'll hear when I talk to Coach Kawana some of the observations I made by watching the Southern section at Moore Park High School. I mentioned those two meets because when I go to a meet, I bring my camera and I take photos. If you're interested in those photos, they're on our website at westcoastxc.com. And you can download those photos for free and enjoy those photos. And so something you can look for if you went to those races last week or are interested. But now we got to get to the state meets. It's one weekend, three state meets, and let's hear from our experts. We're happy to have, again, Coach Albert Kawana of Crystal Springs Uplands. He's also the editor-in-chief of the Cross Country Express. Coach, thanks for coming back on.
All right. Well, thank you for inviting me again.
Oh, I appreciate you. It's fun to have you on. And we talked about 3 weeks ago, like wondering what kids will make it. Now we don't wonder anymore unless somebody is sick or something happens. But these are the kids we think are going to be in the state meet. They were on the heat sheets on Sunday. We're going to start, well, I guess I should start by, again, you know, I'm doing a recording of Oregon and Washington, and I have to explain, you know, how they do them a little slightly different. And California does it incredibly different. It is one state meet, no divisions, makes for a quick meet. And there's in the distance races, which I kind of cover as a cross country site, there's prelims in the 800 and the 1600 on Friday.
Right.
Washington, Oregon do not have prelims for that distance. And then the finals for the 3200 and then the 4x8, which Washington, Oregon wants desperately, but they don't have yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, this is the third year for the 4x8, and it's possible that next year they might have trials in that event too. But for now, 3200 goes straight to finals. 4x8 is a straight final also. And then the 800, 1600, that will be, there'll be trials.
Right. And because it's all one division meet, that 800 and 1600, it's not like a guaranteed spot. You may end up ending your season on Friday, which is no shame. It's, there's incredible athletes.
Yeah. I mean, you have to treat Friday almost like a final. If you think you're just going to go in there and the races turn sometimes very tactical and, you know, for the kids that are used to running like really fast and all of a sudden they're in a slow heat and you better get into the top three or top four. So there's definitely a lot of tactics that are involved in at the trials.
Yeah. We also want to mention that Fresno, California is going to have a bit of a heat dome. I shouldn't say a bit of heat. They're going to have a heat dome unless something. I'm really hoping the heat dome moves to Monday and Tuesday. But right now, the two hottest days of the week will be Friday.
Yeah.
And Saturday by a significant amount, 103, maybe on Friday. This morning, it was going to be 106. Now it's cooled down to 105. It's going to be toasty.
Yeah. The CCS meet, we were talking about the meet and all that, and then we're going, oh, it's going to be hot in Fresno. So
yeah, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can hope that it shifts a little bit and goes early next week, but who knows?
And you've been to Buchanan. It's an incredible facility. It's just every so often we're going to get this kind of heat, and there's a lot of kids and, you know, and adults in the stands who are not used to it. So
right.
It's definitely something that's a little concerning.
They haven't made an announcement about how they're going to do the meet. We'll probably hear something pretty soon that I would imagine they'll probably delay it to farther in the evening with the sun down a little bit. So let's talk about the 800, girls 800. We're going to go by the distance, not by the order of how they run them. Who do you like in the girls 800? Who's some gals that we should keep an eye on?
Right. So all the other races, you know, like there's, it's hard to pick a winner. But this is like the one race where there's like one definite favorite, and it's McKenna Herbst from Carlsbad. She just ran her PR 203.30 by herself. She was second in 2024. She won Arcadia, won Mount SAC. I mean, she's definitely the favorite. I mean, I don't think anybody will be close to her. So she's the favorite. And then you have Annalise Packard of J. Sarah. She was the section champ, fourth at Arcadia. That was her only loss of the season in the 800. You got Grace Smith of Claremont. She's a ninth grader. She was third at Southern Section. You have Josie Hill of Technology. She won NCS, and she's run 209.12 this year. And she did that at Arcadia in one of the earlier Saturday races.
Right.
So, you know, she's definitely a wild card. And then you got Kylie Hornart of Prospect. She's run 208.56, but she got fourth at CCS in a really competitive race. So, you know, I think there's going to be a really solid group, but there's definitely one favorite.
Right. And in the men's boys 800, it's pretty, yeah. That one's a totally different race. I'm looking at the times there. It could be anybody.
Yeah. So this one, it's an interesting race. It's almost like you're going to have somebody either just, you know, really crushing that last 100, or somebody, you know, being in the lead and then, you know, hitting a wall somewhere. So it's going to be a pretty good race. So you have Josiah Bowman of Sage Creek. He's run 150.39. He was the San Diego champ. He ran his PR at the Meet of Champs, and he's undefeated in the 800. Wyland Obando of Long Beach Wilson. He was the Southern Section champ, second in 2024, ran his PR at Arcadia. Aiden Morales of J. Sarah last year broke 150 in the 800, but I believe he was injured at the end of the season, so didn't finish his season. But it looks like he's back, and he was third at the starting section meet. You got Lucas Alberts of Jesuit, who Sakwa King section champ. He's a 10th grader. He just PR'd in his last race. And then you have Beckett Sullivan of Riverside Poly, who was second at the starting section meet. And he's had 15 800 races this season. He finished seventh. It must have been a dual meet. He must have been jogging, but the lowest finish he's had is a third. So he's pretty competitive. And then there's one more name, Cooper Barr of Placer.
Get a nice, yeah, sectional race.
Right. So I don't know if most people know this, but his mom was a four-time state champion in the 800 in California. So his mom is Lindsay Hyatt, also ran at Placer. And she won the state meet from 1996 to 1999, four-time state champ, ran at Stanford. So he's got pretty good genes in the family. And so, I didn't see the race, but it looks like he gave Lucas Alberts all he can handle. And so he's definitely a kid to watch, and he's only a junior. So,
A lot of youngsters in this race too. Isn't
yeah.
Morales maybe a junior too? Is that right? Jay Sarah,
I believe so.
and then Weiland's a junior. So this could be like a beginning
Yeah.
of a 2 year battle, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting. We've talked about this before with the 4x8. Sometimes it might thin out the field in 800. So it's just an interesting dynamic with the 800 and the 4x8s and who runs in the eight and who runs in the 4x8s. But it should be a great race. And I think it's been a little soft the last couple of years, but this might be a year where we might get a really fast time to win state.
It may not be impacted as much by the heat because they're just not out there as long,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even the 1600, it's a 4 minute race. It's it's definitely gonna be a factor.
So then we have the girls 1600, which has prelims on Friday. We're assuming these athletes make it to final. It looks pretty. I mean, there's an athlete on the top that's had a fantastic season. But she's
Yeah.
going to get pushed.
Right. So Kiara Daly of La Jolla, she's run 4:40:28. She was third in 2024, second at Arcadia with the PR 4:40:28. And she'll be doubling. And as will Hannah Thompson of Montgomery, who ran 4:41, I believe, let's see, 16. I think she ran that at her league meet by herself, but she was a NCS champ. She didn't double last year, but she doubled as a sophomore. And you have Jordan Lieberman of Murrieta Valley, PR at Arcadia, fourth at starting section meet. Braylon Combe from Santiago Corona, she won the starting section meet and she was second last year with a 4:39 PR. So she's definitely a threat. And then you have Kinga Tchaikovska from Palo Alto, undefeated in the 1600. If she's anywhere near anybody in the last lap, she's definitely a threat. So I think those are the top contenders.
Yeah, and you talk about like you see Daly with 440, and she's like 4 or 5 seconds faster than Braylon and Kinga. But Braylon just dominated. I went to the Masters meet last
Yeah.
weekend, just dominated the Southern Section Masters race.
Yeah.
And then Kinga, we talked about her before. I've seen her run several times and just dominate her races. And so they're used to like just
Yeah.
doing well. And that the time thing may not mean anything, that they're just going to be there in the front and compete with Daly and Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, unless somebody and once again, you're talking about the heat, does anybody want to go out there and try to hammer away in that heat? And so it could be a very tactical race, and then whoever can kick in the last lap is the one that's going to win. So, yeah, times are not I think this weekend, I mean, you can forget the times. I mean, you're looking at people racing and trying to conserve energy, and winning a state meet. There was 1 year where the state meet was won in 4:20 in the boys 1600. That guy's still a state champ, just
Right.
like what's his name? The The guy that won the gold medal with a very slow 1500 time.
Sensuitz won like
Yes.
351
Yeah.
or something like that. Yeah.
No, nobody cares about what he ran,
No one
what
talks
he
about it. We
ran.
just did, but no one else
Yeah.
does.
But he's the Olympic champ.
He's the
So
gold
I think
medalist.
that's what it's going to be like this weekend. It's, you know, like, where did you finish? What place did you get?
Yeah. In the boys 1600, I'm looking at the list. They all have the pretty much the same time, which
Yeah.
does kind of lend to the fact that that's going to be super exciting and competitive.
Yeah. So there's one interesting thing that in the girls 1600 there's two heats, and in the boys 1600, because there was so many at large times, there'll be three heats. So in the girls, it's going to be top four plus next four fastest times that make the final. In the boys, it's going to be three heats. You got to get top three, and then the next three fastest times from those three heats will advance to the final. So got to make the final first.
Right.
And the top two 1600 times this year are both in the 3200. So then Connor Lott of Clovis North, he was the central champ. He was Division I state champ in cross country. Ran his PR in the last race, ran 405.80. So Benjamin Bowie from Crystal Springs, he ran his PR in his last race, ran 406.02. And he was fourth last year, and he's the top returner. Luke Sanders from Buchanan finished behind Connor Lott at the Central Section Championship, and he's run at the state meet all 3 years. He was actually Buchanan got third in the 4x8 when he was a freshman on the team. So lots of experience, home
Right.
track. You know, the two kids from the Connor Lott from Clovis North and the Buchanan runner. You know, I don't know how hot it's been in Fresno, but they're used to running in that heat. So,
Correct.
you know, so that's definitely an advantage for them. And then you have Aiden Stephanopoulos got second at CCS, and you got Aiden Antonio of Woodbridge. He got second at the Southern Section meet, and Grant Miller won the Southern Section meet. He also, I believe, won the 10 earlier this year.
Yeah,
Great.
I saw both of those races. He won them in dominant fashion. You know,
Yeah.
just like looking around, like where is everybody? That kind of thing. Where it's like, why am I so far ahead? You know.
Yeah. So he's definitely a threat. And then Aaron Sagaraju of Doherty Valley got seventh last year in the 1600, and he just won the NCS meet. So, you know, there's gonna be lots of, you know, lots of runners going into that meet, you know, thinking like, hey, I have a chance, you know. So it's gonna be a great race.
We were talking before we start our recording about the 3200. It'll definitely be in the dark. It'll be under the lights. It
Yeah.
could be maybe a couple, maybe an hour or 2 hours later than normal. But you and I have been to Fresno. I don't know. The sun will be beating on you, but it'll still be plenty warm
Yeah.
at night. But you will have some outstanding runners in both events. It seems like the boys and girls sort of realize, hey, the 3200, that's where it's at. They
Yeah.
do it at Arcadia, and then they just say, well, I'm just going to do it again.
Yeah, there's definitely an incentive to run the 3200 since it's a final only. So I think if you had to choose between like 1600, 3200, and it's really close, you might I think a lot of runners will go to the 32 because then they can just go to the straight to the final and not have to run a heat. But the girls, and we've talked about this before, I mean, it should be an outstanding race. So Kiara Daly actually has the fastest time in the season, and she ran that at a dual meet, ran 9:58.02, and then we have three California state champs. I don't know if we've ever had a
I don't
race.
think so. I can't
Yeah,
imagine.
I mean that's hard to do. I mean, so you have Hannah Thompson won in 2022. She just won NCS. Then you have Riley Blade won in 2023, Southern Section champ, and then you have Jalen Williams of East Lake. So she was second in the San Diego section behind Daly, and she won it last year. So you have three former champions. I mean, it's possible we could have a new champion. So that would be pretty amazing. You have a race
Amazing.
with.
You'd have the finish of the race. You could have four California state champions
Yeah.
crossing the line. It's just wild.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, once again, I mean, time is not a factor, and who's going to be willing to, take the field out. So we'll see. And then Abby Arrington of South Pasadena, PR at Arcadia, she ran 10:05.97, and she was fifth in the southern section.
Yeah, and Holly Barker last week was second in the Masters meet, was out.
Right.
She was out in front of everybody. I mean, other than Riley Blade. There's Riley Blade, gap, Holly
Yeah.
Barker, gap. So
Right.
she's pretty fit. And actually, Holly Barker ran the 1600 earlier in the day. So
Right.
she wasn't running fresh. I think that is something to think about when kids are doubling. She
Yeah.
didn't make it to the 1600, but she still ran the race, and used that
Right.
energy. So she'll be fresh. So that could
Yeah.
be interesting too.
Yeah. So, right. So she finished second at the southern section, ran 4:48.58 in the 1600, but she'll just be running the 3200 at state. So she'll definitely be a factor. I mean, like I said, it should be a great race.
The fastest seat time in the boys' race is not the defending champion, but the
Right.
defending champion's in there, so you got to like count him in, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is another race where, Evan Noonan won last year. Whatever, formula he's used, it seems to be working. He runs really fast in the 1600 at the Southern Section meet before the Masters meet. I think he ran 4:03.21 in the 1600, so he's definitely fit. I mean, at this point, it's kind of like, to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. So, I think he might be a slight favorite. Landon Pretre has had an outstanding
Yeah.
season. CCS champ. He was the top California runner at Arcadia. He finished sixth at the Jesuit mile. And he's PR'd in the mile, PR'd in 1600, PR'd in the 800. Just ran 8:48.57 to win CCS. So he's definitely will be a huge factor. Josef Berhan of Piedmont Hills, he finished right behind Pretre. Pretre came across the line, and Josef was right behind him, and he was with him the whole time. Last lap, they were like shoulder to shoulder, and so he's definitely a factor. Eli Fitchin-Young ran 4:05.14 at Stanford, and he and Noonan had quite a battle there.
Did.
So he'll definitely be a factor. Tyler Dylock of Paso Robles, he was the Central Section champ, ran 4:08.92 in the 1600, but it's just running the 3200. And then you have Ian Turk of what's the school? I should
Woodcrest Christian.
press. Right. So he also broke nine, finished second behind Evan. So he'll definitely be a factor.
Oh yeah, that'll be outstanding. I guess I want to give a shout out to Tyler and to y Yusuf because they're not as well known as the other California kids and are having just a great senior
Yeah.
season.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Yosef's he ran 8:52 at Arcadia. I think it's like the like fourth or fifth fastest time in all time in CCS. And I mean, he looked great at on Saturday at the CCS meet. So he'll be in the mix, and they'll have a hard time dropping him. And so I mean, once again, I keep repeating myself, and I mean, I know I'm biased, but it's like California with one division. It's just like every race is just amazing. You watch the race and you go, "Oh my God, I can't believe that." And then here comes another race
Right.
that's,
And we're not talking about distance races. We're talking about
yeah,
every single race.
right,
And then there's
yeah.
oohing and aahing in the infield because the field event kids are doing something
Oh yeah.
spectacular. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a great atmosphere. It'll be a little bit on the hot side for the fans. They might be oohing
Yeah.
and aahing because of the heat, but it's going to be a little hot. And then the event that Oregon and Washington doesn't have, which is the 4x800. And the girls 4x800, I sent you the notes. There's
Yeah.
like a team that you would think is the favorite, but they're busy running the Open 800. Is that's the
Right.
problem? Not a problem, but
Yeah.
just one of the things that happens.
Right. So we're talking about Jay Sarah. Jay Sarah, they ran 8:53.85 at Arcadia, and but they'll have a couple of runners that'll be in the open eight. So that's definitely a factor. And but this is the decisions that have to be made, and so they have the fastest time of the year. Claremont won the Southern Section. Clovis North won the Central Section Championships. They finished just ahead of Buchanan. So Claremont broke nine. Clovis North was at nine. Buchanan was at 9:02. And then you have Santiago Corona that ran. They were second at the starting section meet and to show what kind of depth they have, that's without Riley Blade,
Right.
who'll be running the 3200, and they ran 902 without one of the top runners in the United States.
I was at the Masters meet. I want to give a shout out to Claremont because the reason why they ran so well, and I got to look up my name here, it was because of great their freshman gal, Grace
Yeah.
Smith, was incredible. And she
Yeah.
did run the 800 earlier in the day.
Yeah.
So it's that didn't affect her at all. And she's just a youngster and she just swooped up all these kids at the last 400.
Yeah. No, she yeah. I mean, she's gonna be a factor in the 800 and obviously a big factor in the 4x8.
You think about if the baton is handed off to some of these girls that are like running the 800 final, that is going to be fun to watch, you know, because they're going to be, it's going to be fast.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't notice that Clovis North won this central section. Buchanan just dominates that section. So there's
Yeah.
the in
Yeah, but
district
then
rivalry there.
yeah, no, I mean both of them in low nines, you know, that
Yeah.
I'm sure Buchanan wants to get him back at
Sure. Home turf.
yeah.
In the 4x8, we've had San Clemente win it 2 years in a row, and it looks like we'll definitely get a new champion because San
Yeah.
Clemente didn't advance. I don't even know if they had a team last week. I didn't remember them. Can you tell us about the boys 4x8?
Right. So Miracosta won the Southern, they won the Southern section. Oaks Christian was second. Both of them got under 740. And Jay Serra was third. And Long Beach Wilson was fourth. And to show you how close it was to make state. So this year, Great Oak had the fastest time in
Right.
California. They ran 735. And they missed going to the state meet, I believe, by 0.007.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like Obando of Long Beach Wilson ran down the Great Oak anchor and beat him by like 6/1000ths of a second. Just incredible.
There's another example of an athlete we've been saying, well, you know, they may not run so fast because they run earlier in the day. He had won the 800.
Yeah.
He had, I'm gonna, you know, this is all on memory, but I want to say he got the baton in seventh, and it wasn't like there was a pack of seven kids.
Sure.
There was like the four kids or four teams were way up there, and like, can he do it in two laps? And he did, and people were
Yeah.
going crazy in the stands. Incredible athlete.
Yeah. So, I mean, the 4x8, it's still going through its growing process, and you know, it's unfortunate that there's definitely some worthwhile teams from the certain section, but since they only take four and it goes straight to final, there's going to be teams that get knocked out. You know, that would have had a chance to podium at state. So it's I mean, you know, and you saw it in the certain section. I mean, to get top four, I mean, you had to, I mean, it's a war. And
Yeah.
then a lot of the kids are doubling back. And
Right.
so that made it for a very tough race.
Like Jay Serra boys have two boys in their four that are in the 16 and the eight. And
Right. So the other team that should also be mentioned is Jesuit. So they won the San Joaquin section. They won Arcadia. They ran 7:41.54 at Arcadia, and in cross country they were the top team in California. And they have everybody back for next year, so they're definitely a factor. Plus, you know, Lucas Alberts will be in the open eight, but he's one of the top 800 runners in the state, and they're definitely a factor.
yeah, you know, I gave you the list of the top times. They had it really because of the Southern section. We're racing each other for the four spots,
Yeah.
kind of tweaks all the different the
Yeah.
times. And there's other schools from other sections that are worthwhile. We'll be in there in the hunt on Saturday night, which will be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the San Joaquin section, they ran the 4x8 on Friday of their 2-day meet, and as did the Norco section meet. And so it's like, you know, in the certain section there's no messing around, but I think in other sections there's definitely room for teams to just try to qualify for state and not really, you know, go you know, as fast as possible. So we'll see some teams not run as fast, and we'll see some teams, you know, run
Okay.
faster than what they did at their section meet.
Well, looking forward to the California State Meet, Coach, and I'm sure you are too. You've got one of your athletes as one of the, you know, potential favorites there. Well, he is a favorite, one of the favorites in the 1600, and you have a 4x8 team, and you have a gal running the 1600 trying to make the finals. You're going to be busy coaching, but I'm sure you're going to be enjoying the meet too.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I get a free ticket to watch one of the best track meets in the country, so I'm super lucky.
And we can root for maybe a change in the weather. It's,
I would be all for that.
yeah, it'd be great. Well, Coach, I sure appreciate you coming on and giving us the lowdown on the California State meet. And we will talk to you soon. And good luck to your athletes this weekend.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, we are very happy to have on as our guest Thor Espenson of IW Wells in Portland, Oregon. Thor, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thor, I have you on because you are such a great connector to all the coaches in Oregon and throughout the United States. And the reason for that is you do the Portland Coaches Social. Can you tell me what that is and how it developed?
Yeah, so a number of years ago, goodness, many years ago now, I was just kind of sitting around wishing that I had the ability to just call up, you know, local coaches and ask them questions, and that I, that, you know, selfishly, that I had a better coaching network. And it was kind of asking around and talked to a couple coaches about starting the what we called the Portland Coaches Social. So, the third Thursday of every month, we would get together in person at a local restaurant and just kind of have kind of a topic of the day and connect and just kind of build a local, you know, network of kind of asking each other questions, brainstorming about different things, what meets are cool, what workouts are going well, what kids are coming up through the state. And then when COVID happened, we had to pivot a bit. And in Oregon, we shut down all of the establishments, so there wasn't really anywhere to meet up anymore. So this new thing called Zoom came about that we became aware of and decided to move the quote unquote social online. And Dave Frank, who is incredibly connected throughout the country from his collegiate running days, post-collegiate running days, coaching networks, coaching clinics that he's so immersed in, you know, had this idea like, well, it doesn't have to just be us, you know, let's invite people from other places that can join us. And so he had a great contact list. We threw that out there and just started picking up coaches, and word spread pretty naturally. And yeah, we during the, you know, peak COVID times, we had, you know, somewhere around 80 coaches signing on each week on Thursdays to check in. And that's kind of evolved over time as we kind of went back in person with stuff. The group has kind of shrunken down again. There's probably about, you know, 12 to 15 coaches that check in regularly with each other every Thursday, and it's kind of returned to kind of a smaller, you know, coaches social. We really just kind of check in and check notes and talk about workouts and commiserate, and sometimes we talk about baseball and sometimes we talk about track and field.
So I probably have coaches watching this. Can coaches that are watching this join your Zoom every Thursday?
Yeah, so yeah, just any coach that sends me an email, I just add them to our weekly email blast. And there's even coaches that don't come to the social but respond to articles that I send out in the weekly emails. So the weekly
Okay, yeah.
email has the Zoom link in it, but also I try to include somewhere around five talking points, thinking points, and some of them are things that make big news that, you know, people are already talking about, and some of them are a little bit more subtle. And I kind of get some feedback, you know, off the Zoom about, wow, that was cool, I hadn't seen that yet, what do you think about this? I try to highlight new things that are coming up, you know, when you put out a new interview or when you know, Steve Ravine gets released and things like that. Try to make sure that that gets in there to make sure people know about it.
So I'll put your email on the bottom of the screen when people are watching on YouTube, and they can email you and join. I was one of the coaches that came to the different restaurants. You were very strategic. You'd have one on the west side to get the Beaverton people, then the South Side, Wilsonville, and then the little middle of Portland, then the East Side. You did a really good job of moving it around. And then during COVID, I turn on my Zoom, and there are some incredibly famous high school coaches on the Zoom, like people I've, seen them on clinics or read about them, and they're like looking at me on Zoom. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was pretty floored by a lot of the star power that showed up. Two of our very regular attendees are Timo Mostert from American Fork and Scott Christensen of USATF and Training Lore, and it just still boggles my mind to just be sitting there with six coaches and just to look over and ask Scott, what do you think about, aerobic development in terms of mitochondrial recruitment during this workout versus how much recovery do we need after doing something like, repeat 400s after some aerobic, and just have that access is just kind of mind blowing.
Well, cool. Again, I'll put the email address. I'll put it probably in the notes too, so people can contact you and join your group. Let's talk about the state of Oregon. It's kind of a 3-day meet, but really a 2-day meet for kids. Starts Thursday for the 1A, 2A, 3A. They go Thursday night, Friday night. And then the bigger schools, 4A, 5A, 6A, go in the daytime Friday and in the daytime Saturday. And Thor, I might say something controversial, but Oregon might have the best setting for a high school state meet.
I would be hard pressed to entertain another location for a high school state meet. I think other than maybe a nostalgic throwback to like when we were racing at a small special high school here or there, but for our kids to get to be under the lights of Hayward Field is just, I mean, it's mind blowing. It really is.
It is. And it was amazing when it was the older building, and now it's amazing. Underneath the stands is a whole nother world down there. It's so cool. Then they have this huge screen that the kids' faces will appear on. It's just, it's crazy. And there's a good crowd that comes too. And so it's good. It's loud, and it's what a great experience to be at Hayward Field. And let's talk about the 800. There are two young ladies that are at the same high school that'll be competing.
Yes, they are of immense talent, and they're such ferocious competitors. Really excited to see them take on the state, but it is always wild to watch teammates take on each other. I mean, if you think about, some of the greatest battles you've ever seen, I kind of think about, two brothers playing basketball in the driveway. I mean, they just know each other so well, every in and out, every psychological, ticking bomb, whatever it might be. To see two teammates of that caliber, obviously there's probably some working together, but man, with 120 meters to go, all women for themselves. Sophia and Ellery are just outstanding performers, and they've been on the big stage in multiple aspects throughout their careers. And that is going to be one that's definitely flagged by a lot of people to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Sophie Malinowski and Ellery Lincoln of Lincoln, 209 and 210. Sophia won it last year. There's a young lady that's in the 3A. They're going to be on Thursday and Friday. Sophie Schoolmeester, and she's from Banks. And then there's Avery Peterson, who's 2A, also very fast, from Santiam. And so you've got some kids also on the earlier days. And Sophie has a bit of a pedigree.
Of the Kara Goucher lineage there with Kara's sister is Sophie's mother, and Brett Schoolmeester, her father of University of Colorado lore. She's got the right bloodline there to be a champion, as does Ellery Lincoln in the 6A race.
Yes, Ellery Lincoln too has two very famous parents, two Olympians. Is it Daniel Lincoln, right? Steeplechase, right. And then a mom's name. Do you know mom's name?
Yes, I do.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh, totally. No, she is lovely. I see her every week.
Yeah, Mrs. Lincoln. She ran for Arkansas, was an All-American. She's from Washington. She was a Kinney, back when Kinney was Kinney, Foot Locker finalist many times. And we apologize that our name escapes us. We researched, but not researched that deep. And then Eleanor Wyatt's a freshman, maybe the next upcoming star from Westland, too, is another athlete to watch this weekend in the 800.
Yeah, she's put up some very impressive marks throughout the season as well. I coming out of her league is just an with the Hyler, we'll get to them later, I'm sure. But with the Hyler sisters, battle tested and ready to take on the Lincoln girls for sure.
And then we go to the 800, and we have, and they're all really close in time. Josiah Tostenson, what you would think is the favorite 5'8" from Crater. He's had an incredible high school career, but he has people right next to him, and they're all, and many of them are in the 5A too, which is very interesting.
Yes. The 800 has really kind of come alive this year for us out here. I definitely think some of those kids are well prepared to go sub 150 should the race conditions develop. Josiah has just had a legendary career, and I'm sure he's excited to cap this off with something special. But his teammate, one of the things that they kind of show up with the Crater teammates, they're never afraid to take each other on.
Yeah.
I don't know that they believe in hierarchy down there at Crater. It is every man for himself. But then also, the 5A is going to be just fantastic.
Yeah,
Dane,
didn't he win it last year? Is that right?
and a great 400 meter runner as well.
Right.
Very strong on their 4x4. The 5A should just be an absolute battle
Yeah,
with
just
Josiah's strength and some of the speed of these other guys. It should be
Yeah.
exciting.
And Josiah's teammates, Maxwell Miracle. And then we have Bodie Lutz from Marshfield. For those people listening, Marshfield is excuse me, has lineage to Marshfield's the home of Steve Prefontaine in the 4A and Jackson Welsh of the very powerful and deep Jesuit High School 6A. So there's some, and they all run like 153 to 151. It's gonna be super fast.
Very.
And
And
then
I think they're motivated to do that.
yeah, they're gonna go fast. And then in the 1500, we are back talking about Ellery Lincoln and Sophia Malinowski, but now we have Chloe Hyler. Both Ellery and Chloe have run 421. Those are national legit times.
Yeah, well, Ellery coming off of her number two all-time mile as a freshman last year, four freshmen rather, as a freshman. Should be very exciting to see what she comes back with this year. A little bit of illness last year and in cross that kind of dampened a little bit of for her a little bit, but certainly seems to be coming back to full form now as we kind of hit the end of her sophomore track season. And Chloe, yeah, the from Nev originally from Nevada, coming in and just continuing to storm up the ranks. Just a killer indoor season and a really impressive outdoor season now as well. And Sarah Schwald was Ellery Lincoln's is
Yes.
Ellery Lincoln's mother. Yeah,
It's
sorry.
Sarah
Sorry.
Schwall. Sorry, Sarah.
Sorry, it took me a
Outstanding
second.
runner. Outstanding.
And again, I think you're seeing a lot of the same characters show up there with Sophia from Lincoln again coming back into that 1500 picture and with tremendous speed. She'd run 57 in the 400. So,
Sophia Schoolmeester.
sorry, Sophia Malinowski, if she's hanging
Oh,
around,
yeah. Sorry.
yeah,
Okay.
if she's hanging around with 400 to go, I think it'll be an interesting battle watching how that race plays out. Chloe tends to run with a lot of strength and likes to just get going from the gun and kind of set the tone. But you've got kids with such turnover with Ellery and Sophia Malinowski and Eleanor Wyatt with tremendous finishing speed. So it'll be interesting to see who plays which strategy, which way. It should be wild. And That's not to say that Chloe can't close. She had some tremendous races earlier this season where, she really put her raw speed on display. So.
Yeah, sorry to confuse everybody here. 6A has Ellery Lincoln, Chloe Hyler, Sophia Malinowski of Lincoln, and Eleanor Wyatt. So that's going to be quite a race. Then Sophie Schoolmeester, 427 in the 3A division. That's pretty fast.
Exceptionally fast. Yeah, to see. Yeah, I remember when Oregon would be very proud of having an athlete break into those 4:30s, and now all of a
Yeah.
sudden you're seeing all these 4:20s popping up. It's
Crazy.
the speed, the talent, the coaching has really been on full display lately.
And in the 800, we talked about Josiah Tausenson of Crater maybe getting a battle from his teammate, Maxwell Miracle. So then Josiah jumps in the 1500 and he has another teammate to think about.
Yeah, which will be quite a story. A little bit of history with Josiah. I think it was his freshman year where he
Yeah.
took on his teammate Tyrone when he was the freshman, and his teammate Tyrone was the favorite. And Josiah, beat his teammate again. No hierarchy there.
Yeah.
And then Josiah has quite a battle with his teammate Tavon. And I think both would be very honored to take that title from either of each other. So,
Right. That'll be fun to watch. And then in the 6A race, you have these three kids that can run 351, which is, we have to mention that Josiah and Tavon come in with a 340 and 341, which just makes your head explode. But the three boys in the 6A have a 351, which is, school records for most schools, right?
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and back briefly to Josiah and Tavon, remembering that they are in the indoor season, teammates who both broke 4 minutes in the same race. I
Crazy.
don't know.
No, I
I
don't think that's
don't
ever
think any.
happened.
I don't think any. Certainly, no teammates from the same team have broken four in the same race. But I don't think any two individuals from the same high school have broken four as of right now.
No, I don't think so.
For them to do it from the same school, but also in the same year, but also in the same race. So yeah, that will be wild. But yeah, in the 6A, these are pedigree athletes coming in. They have been we've These are kids we've been watching for years come up through the ranks, and to see them kind of arriving in there, for Dylan and Brennan, Dylan Weniger from Sherwood and Brennan McEwen from Franklin, these are guys that we've been watching kind of developing, and they've kind of been in the wings. Is this going to be the breakthrough? And here they are, senior year, ready to certainly to go to battle. And Kellen at Jesuit, another name that we've been kind of keeping an eye on as he's developed, exceptional freshman year, and really coming together. All three of them right there at 351, and then a handful of guys right behind them, hopefully
Sure.
trying to steal some thunder from these guys. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, it could be, maybe talking about somebody else too. And then in Oregon, the 3000 is run first in the morning for the 4A, 5A, 6A on Friday, and then in the evening, but the first race for the 1A, 2A, 3A, you get the 3000, then you get to come back the next day and do your next distance race if that's what happens if you make those teams. We have some star power in the girls 3000 also.
Again, some pretty powerful names in there, with Chloe Hyler making a great name for herself the last couple of years, and Emily Wisniewski in 5A, a Nike Elite athlete, looking to kind of capitalize at the end of her season. And then Chloe's sister Hannah, in 6A, also having a really great breakout year. And then, bringing in Nalita Dalgas from North Salem, had a fantastic cross country season and is, doubling back in track. So the 6A race looks to be really, again, strong. This one, though, I mean, Chloe's kind of separated herself in that 6A
Yeah, it's
division.
yeah. Surprising if she doesn't win that. Yeah. Being fresh and everything, ready to go. Emily Wisniewski, I believe, will get it if she wins. It'll be her fourth 5A title, which is, I believe, has to be unprecedented. I don't know how that's happened before.
I mean, and with the caliber of athlete she's been taking on, it's just a real tip of the hat to an exception. I mean, she's done it multiple ways, you know, kind of just going out and taking the race, and other times, you know, really kind of powering from, you know, the last 600. So really looking forward to seeing what she does in her, you know, what'll be an amazing career sign off.
And Jaya Simmons of Valley Catholic will be running on Thursday for the 3A. And Jaya, like, will jump into the cross country races with all the big schools and just take on everybody. She does, it doesn't seem to faze her at all.
A fearless competitor. You know, speaking my truth, I don't know Jaya as well, other than at some of these meets, as you said, kind of popping in there and you know, just fearless competitor.
Right.
Very excited to see what she puts together. You know, state champion in cross her junior year, I believe. And several titles bringing to the table.
Right.
And we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be some athletes looking to challenge, but
Right.
she is very
Yeah.
gifted.
Oregon's getting deep. It doesn't really matter what division you're in, it's going to be competitive. And then the boys 3000, that's going to be kind of interesting too, particularly in the 6A race. But we want to talk about Tavon Kitchen first.
Tavon is kind of has really kind of built a reputation around. He's almost like a folk legend when you start hearing stories about him. You know, going back to USA's last year for, you know, running the U20 5K in the morning and then coming back in the afternoon and running the high school 5K later that day. Then he flies out with his team a couple days later and they set the national record
Wow.
in the DMR. And then indoor, it just felt like during the winter, it felt like every weekend it was a new top 10, top performance, sub 4 national record. It was almost dizzying what the crater guys were doing. But you know, Purdue Tavon just really storming to national prominence. I mean, 801 is fast.
801 is fast. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he just decides to... I bet, I think Tyrone, one of his teammates, was trying to get the 3000 Oregon record and was, and was trying to get it. I think he might have missed it by just a little bit. And so I bet you both those boys, Josiah and Tavon, probably have like maybe not strategy so much, but maybe they want to get some state records that they will have in their pocket. We'll see.
I think that, I mean, kind of watching those guys run the last year, I think those are definitely conversations that they're having with each other when they're on those long runs on, you know, Saturday or Sunday morning. You know, Tavon has a tremendous amount of speed. You know, anyone who's watched the Crater Boys run, they have no fear of taking the lead and going for it. So I would not be surprised to see Tavon on Friday morning just gun goes off and he takes off. So
Yeah.
we'll see what his ideas are, but I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And the boys 6A's and the other interesting race, there are so many boys close together. And then you have the defending 6A champion in there too.
You've got Malachi who ran 8:14 as a sophomore, just a couple tenths of a second off the, you know, sophomore record for the 3000, the national sophomore record for the 3000 last year. Coming back again this year and really rounding into form as the seasons come on. And then several athletes who have just been consistently building their profile over the last couple of years. I mean, Ken, you've been around the sport a long time here in Oregon. I don't remember kids going after each other in district meets the way that we saw Dylan and Sawyer at
Yes.
their league meet. They were with respect to the rest of their league, they had room to,
Yes.
and the fact that they were coming back in the 15 later on, they could have gone in there with a mindset of, hey, let's you and I qualify and get to the state meet and then let's really get after it. They didn't. They went after each other, and I don't know if you know, Ken, are they going to be roommates next year at?
They're going to Gonzaga. So
Yeah.
what Thor's referring to is Dylan Weiniger of Sherwood and Sawyer Marcus of Forest Grove, they're in the same league. They ran PRs last week at the district meet in Oregon. If you finish in the top two, you qualify. And I'm sure there wasn't a third guy running 8:16. I can't imagine. So they were going to go. So you could run 8:45, 8:50, make it to the state meet, save yourself a little bit. But they went after it. And Dylan runs 8:14.39. And Sawyer runs 8:15.18 in a league meet. It's just like, yeah. That's wild.
No pacers, no, you know, lead pack of 16 athletes, just two great kids just going for it. Just amazing.
Well, they want to be league champion, I guess. That's probably what it was.
I love it. I'm all in for it.
I'm in for it too. I'm not critical at all. No way. I believe in racing. This is great. I saw their times. I mean, I looked to do the research. Their star was next to their name because their last race was a PR, which was a district meet. I'm like, what? That's crazy. The Pacific League, right? Wow.
Yeah. And I just think it leads to a lot of intrigue in that race on Friday morning. You've got kids who are incredibly strong and willing to take the lead and go for it. You've got kids who are incredible closers, as we saw last year from Malachi Schoner at Sheldon, as we've seen from Brennan. You know, all these guys are bringing in not just great 3,000 profiles, but, you know, great 1,500 and 800. We've seen, you know, all these guys on the 4x4 run incredible splits. It's building. It's, you know, Ken, I think we've said this for the last 5-6 years. We just keep waiting for a return to normal in Oregon distance running. And every year, these kids continue to surprise us, you know, names showing up, kids coming through stronger, races unfolding. It just keeps going.
You know, we used to have the border clash and at Nike. And if you're an Oregon coach or an Oregon fan, it was so discouraging because Oregon would just get annihilated by Washington. Maybe we'd get one kid in the top seven in the race. And it was like, then we try it again next year and we would get annihilated. I don't want to get the Washington people all riled up here, but in the last 5 or 6 years, Oregon is competitive. I think Washington would have a hard time competing with Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. There are some kids out there making some serious moves.
Yeah.
But we do see those Washington kids.
They're
too.
Good too. No, know. They're really good too.
No.
I would just say I should just say that the meet would be more interesting now than it was like 10 years ago.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely agree. Yeah. It is. Yeah. The times that I see these kids running continues.
It just stuns me. Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, yeah. Fantastic.
Well, I think there was a time, I don't know if you agree, where kids would look at a kid like Galen Rupp and they'd be like, well, he's just special. And yeah. I think with a lot of respect, the kids now are like, well, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, I think you look at a school like Crater where it was, you know, Tyrone's running these times. So Josiah's like, well, it's Tyrone. Like, I can do that.
I know and who Tyrone is.
Yeah. And then everyone's looking at Josiah. It's like, it's just Josiah. That's the guy in my math class. And then,
it's a big deal.
Like, Miracle's like, oh, yeah, it's just, I mean, they just keep, you know, I think they just keep inspiring each other to greater heights.
You know, around the year 2000 ish, 1999, 2000, we had a couple boys who were going to try to break Steve Prefontaine's 3000 record. And he ran the 3200, but they must have, you know, they had a conversion. And the kid from Canby did it. Logsden was his name.
Yeah.
Eric. And that was just like, whoa. You were talking, maybe that was 2000 and we're talking Prefontaine 1969 or something. That's like, I'm not very strong at math, but over 30 years, right? And then Galen Rupp comes a couple of years later. And then, you know, there's a little bit of a gap there. But now, since the late teens into the early 20s, it's game on. You know, no one's, you know, you set a record, this like Pacific record, Pacific Conference record of 8:14, 8:15. Who knows? That could be gone. That blows my mind. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, I don't know if you looked at the freshman list with these kids coming up on both sides and across the board. You know, whether you're talking about the, you know, Siusla or, you know, Lincoln, or I mean, it's just these kids are coming again. So
they're coming.
Well, and Crater's got a freshman running out of his mind, and they've got an eighth grader that ran what 9:03 at the
Oh
middle
my
school.
gosh. Yeah. It's
Yeah, beast.
amazing. It's fun. I love it. Let's do
Wow.
it.
Yep, all for it.
Well, Thor, thanks a lot for coming on and also telling us about the Portland coaches. And I will make sure I put that on our screen there so people can join. And you're coaching at IDB Wells. How many kids are going to the state meet?
We got 11 kids going down. Yep.
Nice.
Excited. Very
Yeah, that's
excited.
a fun weekend. That's just a great weekend.
It's a great way to celebrate our sport. I think that's, you know, we're there for business and we're there to compete. But I like to always just take a moment when we're down there to just recognize that these state championships amongst all the states is just a really fantastic celebration of our sport. And I continue to be impressed every time I'm at practice watching these kids with all of their, you know, distractions, phones, video games, all kinds of reasons to, you know, disengage, to see them put those in backpacks and leave them aside for 2, 2.5 hours and then authentically engage with each other, try hard things, do hard things, engage, you know, emotionally and physically. And it's pretty amazing. And to get to celebrate that at Hayward Field here in Oregon is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and then if you can go to Tracktown Pizza afterwards or Prince Puckler on top of it, it's a pretty darn good weekend for the kids. Well, Thor,
gotcha.
Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck to the kids at IDB Wells, and have a great weekend, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, we're very happy to have our Washington expert, Keenan Gray from Dystat. Hey, Keenan.
Well, since I guess if I'm talking about Washington, I got to break out this bad boy.
Yeah,
from my days as the runner was, so it's always nice to talk about Washington athletes.
Yeah, so Keenan is a Mountain Baker Mountaineer, a Gonzaga Bulldog, and he had a site called The Runner Wa before he went to Dystat.
Yep, and that was my pride and joy. That's how I got this gig I'm currently in. So I'm very grateful for my time in Washington. I'm grateful for all the kids, the coaches, the parents, that, you know, were able to help contribute to what I created the last couple of years.
And so I'm not from Washington, so I called on you since you are the Washingtonian. And I'm going to ask you some just basic questions about the Washington State meet. There are four divisions in Washington, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, but technically there are more than four divisions. Is that correct?
There's actually six divisions if you're looking at across the board. So based on how they do the Washington State meet, there's actually two state meets they have. There's the one in Tacoma where you have the big schools, quote unquote. You have the 2As, the 3As, and the 4As. And that's all at Mount Tahoma High School. Then on the east side, well, originally it used to be in Cheney, Washington, at Eastern Washington. Then, of course, Eastern Washington kind of went through a phase where they had to kind of take out the track, or they did some sort of, you know, remodeling at Roos Field. So they decided to move the smaller schools, which comprises of 1A, 2B, and 1B, all down to Eisenhower High School in Yakima.
Okay, so there can be two state meets simultaneously this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yep.
And so we're going to highlight the 800, the 1600, and the 3200. We're going to go over the top, the faster runners in the state. There are a sprinkling of kids that will be at Yakima too mentioned here. In the girls 800, which is prelims on Friday, final on Saturday, the number one fastest person is a fresh person from Ballard, Sienna Johnson. Looking through that list, what are some names that we should be aware of besides Sienna?
That's the first person that kind of caught my eye at the beginning of the year. And a lot of people, you know, when you're a freshman and, you know, you kind of just come onto the scene out of nowhere. It's just like, all right, who's this person? Who's coaching them? How did they get into the sport? And for me, it's no surprise. I mean, this is the same school that another young lady goes to at Ballard High School. And I'm currently blanking on her name, of course. She ran at Foot Locker this past.
Cassidy.
Yeah, Cassidy Armstrong, who ran at Foot Locker Nationals this past year. And I don't know what it is. I don't know necessarily who the coach is at Ballard, but I mean, they seem to be getting something going there. I mean, especially when you have a freshman running 207. I mean, when you're running 207, that's just not just one of the, you know, top times in the state. That's one of the top times all time in state history. I mean, that's getting up close to, you know, what, you know, Brooke Manson ran at 205, 206, Alexa Efremson when she ran 203. I mean, there's, you're getting in pretty good company if you're in that 207 and a faster range. So, you know, this could be your first state meet. So it's an opportunity to, you know, not only showcase what she's been putting on this entire outdoor season, but also, you know, maybe the start of something cool where she, you know, can start a streak of consecutive state championships. And I mean, that's kind of what the state championship is about. It's kind of like beginning your legacy, and like you do all these things during the regular season, and then when it comes championship season is when you kind of put things all together into the culmination of all your hard work that goes into what you were able to accomplish. So no, I'm excited to see what she does this week. Again, I don't know much about her. I haven't been able to, you know, keep close tabs on her. I'm not as close as I was to Washington the last, you know, 5 or 6 years I was, but it'll be fun to watch her run. But there, you know, there's one athlete that does stand out to me, and I've been able to cover her the last few years, is Alexa Matora from Lake Washington, which oddly enough, when I was still there, Lake Washington was 3A, they're 4A now. And so it changes a little bit different. So I would have, you know, if Lake Washington were 3A still, I would have picked Matora probably over Sienna Johnson just based on, you know, the experience of racing at the state meet. And I've seen Alexa race before, and she's a very strong competitor, very, you know, stay poised in the moment. She doesn't necessarily, you know, kind of freak out or blow up or anything by like that. So, you know, in the case for Alexa Matora to, you know, make one lasting impression in Washington before, you know, she goes off to the University of Pennsylvania next fall, I think this is a really cool opportunity for her. And then, you know, this is nice little preparation for the Brooks PR Invitational the following weekend when she'll be racing the 800 again. But the one athlete, you know, that really has kind of taken off, and it shouldn't come as a surprise to me, and she's actually going to be over at the small school meet over in Yakima, is Josie McLaughlin out of St. George's. Just ran not one of the fastest times in 2B history, the fastest time in 2B history this past weekend at their district meet. And I remember having a conversation with her and her distance coach, Rick Riley, which, if anybody knows who Rick Riley is, one of the all-time greats in the state of Washington, Ferris legend, went on the run for WSU, ran, I believe, during the time of like Jerry Lindgren, you know, Steve Prefontaine, all those guys back then. He told me when she first came into the program, she's going to be the best athlete that I have ever coached, regardless of level. Like that, apparently that's how talented she was coming into high school. And she was really good at the beginning of her freshman year, struggled a little bit throughout her sophomore and junior year, and now is, you know, getting back to once she where she once was as a Frosh. And, you know, 209, that's legit. I mean, that's really good for a small 2B school too. I mean, to give you perspective, you know, 2B schools probably have around, you know, less than 200 kids in their school. It's a very, very small school, the St. George's school in Spokane, private school too. It's kind of weird. You go out and like the way you get to St. George's is kind of like in the middle of the woods. You kind of feel like, you know, you're just kind of in the middle of nowhere, and then bam, it's just like right in front of your face right there, that school just pops out of nowhere. So, you know, I'm excited for her. She's worked a lot the last couple of years to get back to where she is, and, you know, an opportunity for her to, you know, perhaps maybe, I mean, help her team win a team title. Like that's the other thing too, is like there's a lot of these individuals that are trying to help their schools out, trying to win, you know, team trophies. So I like those three to watch. And then, you know, a couple other athletes that have been around for a while, Sally Roos of Eastlake, another one. That's the one thing I've noticed this year, is this is another athlete that's gone under 210 this year. It's been a while since, you know, you've seen multiple athletes in the state of Washington that have ran under 210 in the 800. You might have to go back to maybe, gosh, I would have to say maybe mid-2010s, maybe earlier than that, than the last time there's been that many girls under 210 going into the state championships. So that's exciting. You know, that's going to, you know, probably pump up everybody going into the meet, and, you know, just something to feel all the competitors and all the fans that are being in attendance. And then you throw Ginger Oberg of Roosevelt in the mix. That'll be a fun matchup between her and, you know, Johnson, Roosevelt, Ballard. They see each other all the time. King Co, West Co, whatever the leagues they are. And then you got Matora versus Roos in the 4A ranks. That'll be a fun one to watch. Yeah, there's a lot of good talent in the girls 800.
In the boys 800, we have the familiar name of Owen Powell listed in the prelims. What can you talk about Owen and other kids that are in the 800 to look for?
There's the statement of the greatest of all time that comes across, you know, in just various different conversations. I mean, you could say Jerry Lindgren's the greatest of all time. You could say Daniel Maton is the greatest of all time. You could say Joe Wascom. You can say James Mawara. When it's all said and done, Owen Powell is the greatest distance runner at the high school level in the state of Washington, period. Just based on what he's been able to accomplish. You run 148, you run 356, you run 838 solo, mind you. He ran faster in a solo effort than he did at the Arcadia Invitational this last weekend.
I saw that 838 is PR. Yeah.
Yeah.
At a district and, meet. Qualifying meet. Yeah.
Call it the shoes, call it the technology whatsoever. When it's all said and done, Owen Powell is the greatest high school distance runner out of the state of Washington history by a long shot. And so when you get a chance to watch this kid do his thing, you know, a handful of number of times, and I'm fortunate enough, you're fortunate enough to, you know, we get to watch him, you know, at the collegiate level, we'll get to watch him hopefully at the professional level as well. But, you know, for those that live in the state of Washington and don't get the access that you and I have for some of these meets, this is the one chance that you get to witness greatness one last time. So I'm excited for him. You know, I don't know how he's going to approach this race. You know, the following week, he's got Hoka Festival Miles. I don't know what the rest of his summer is going to look like. Little birdie told me though that there's some sort of meet in July that he might be running at. I can't personally say what that meet is, but definitely tune in to see when that officially is announced. But I'm excited for him. He's an awesome kid. It's been a delight to watch him the last couple of years, and you know, hopefully he goes out of state champion. I know for sure some of these guys will not just give it to him. They're not afraid to race Owen Powell just because of what he's been able to do on his own. And so, you know, you can expect a lot of guys to, you know, give him one last go here before he goes off to his ways to the University of Washington and whatever else his future endeavors have. But at least over on the east side, though, I never thought I'd say this in life. I never thought I would see a 151 guy from the 1A level at all. I blatantly would not think, you know, Duncan Frisbee Smith from Bush High School is the real deal. And he's a triple threat too. He's going to be doing all three events at the 1A state meet. But I mean, he's a 151 guy. He's a 409 1600. He's a sub 9 3200. You don't see that very often at the 1A class level. At least when I was in school, it was funny. I was looking at old times and like old rankings from when I was in high school, at least at the 1A level, and I ran like 205 for an 800. And I was ranked like 28th in the state. You wouldn't believe who was number one at the state in 153 at the time. It was an Olympic silver medalist in the steeplechases last year.
Really?
Kenneth Rooks was number one in the entire state of Washington for the 800 when he was at College Place down in Walla Walla. But, you know, maybe Duncan Frisbee Smith is the next Kenneth Rooks. Maybe he's the next Tibbs Proctor. There's been so much good talent that has come out of the 1A level over the years. And this guy is just another one that's just adding to the history books for what he's been able to do. Super, super talented, as I've said over and over again. But, you know, who knows? I mean, the 1As are also really deep this year from a middle distance standpoint. I believe out of that district alone, there was maybe 10 guys that qualified for the state meet just based on running the auto qualifying time to get to the state track meet. So you expect a handful of, you know, the guys that were racing at the district 1-2, I think it was 3 meet as well, that will be, you know, on the podium for that 800 as well.
Yeah. And you have another student from St. George's School at 152. They're getting it done there in Spokane.
Yeah, no, Sean's a really fun one to watch too. And he's a unique one in the sense that he can do the 800, but he could also do the 400 really well too. He ran like 48 something for an open 400 just this last weekend. And I remember last year he was a favorite to win both of them at the 2B state meet. I believe he won both of them last year as well. So you can guess that he's going to be in the same boat as he was last year. Another really good, talented athlete that's kind of, you know, underlooked because of, you know, who's at the bigger schools. But you throw him into the mix with guys like Owen Powell and Cade Brownell and Parker Westerman, guys that are really good 800 meter runners, even Duncan Frisby Smith, I could see Sean Jones getting close to 150. I really do, because I think the biggest thing that carries him is his speed. Now, his little weakness I think he does have is his strength, because he doesn't run a ton of miles. I don't think he also did cross country either, so that's where he lacks in his ability as an 800 runner. But when you know, like I said, when you have 48 second speed for an 800 race, that bodes well.
In the girls 1600, you have a mixture of some of the stars from the 800 and some of the stars in the 3200 coming together on Thursday's 1600. That's kind of fun. It starts off the state meet is on Thursday's finals for the 1600.
Yeah. The 1600 at the state meet is always a nice little appetizer before, you know, that big Saturday. And also, depending on what the weather is like, is kind of also the dictator of what that is going to be the rest of the week too. And I had a quick glance at the weather. Looks like it's going to be cloudy the first day, at least in Tacoma, and it's going to be warm in Yakima the entire time. So be prepared as best as possible for when you're racing these distance races. But, you know, as you said, there are some that are going to be starting off in the 1600 and they're double back in the 800, just like, you know, Alexa Matora, Sally Roos. So an opportunity for, you know, we'll get to see them, you know, go head to head in their first state final race before, you know, we assume that they're going to make the 800 final in that 4A race. But then, you know, you got the Rodriguez sisters who will get a chance to, you know, race with each other in their last ever state meet. And it's kind of hard to believe, you know, that, you know, you've ran with your sister all your entire life, and this is going to be the last opportunity that you wear, you know, the same uniform and get to toe the same line as her until, you know, unless Sophia decides she's going to go to Wake Forest next fall. Mm-hmm. This will be their last opportunity. So it'll be a bittersweet moment for the both of them. It'll be an emotional moment, but I think it'll be a fun time too. I think the biggest thing is that they just try to take it in every moment they can with, you know, not only just the 1600, but the 800 and the 3200, because I know Victoria's racing the 800, and then
right,
Sophia's going to come back for the 32.
In the boys 1600, you've got some vast big names running on Thursday.
I just like the 800, I did not think I'd see this many guys under 410 going into a state championship. Not to mention the fact, I know you put Owen Powell down here as 410, but let's be honest here. This kid's a 356 sub 4 miler. We can't forget about that for what he did during the indoor season. So if I had to pick, Owen Powell's my heavy favorite. How many guys can he drag along with him to, you know, just this last week in Iowa, we had a sub 4 1600, which I know is weird to say because it's not a full true mile, but, you know, guy like Quinton Aumann ran 3:59 for a 1600. It would not surprise me if a guy like Cade Brownell or, you know, maybe Vincent Recupero does something like that against Owen Powell. And again, I don't know what Owen's approach is going to be into this race, knowing that there's the Festival Miles the week after. So I think at this point, it's like any other championship style race. It's going to be, you know, someone's going to go take it. Don't know what that pace is going to be. Everyone's just going to sit right on it. And everyone thinks that they have the better kick than everybody else does. So that's, I think that's what it will come down to, is who can outkick anybody else.
You know, I want to make a comment about Vincent Recupero. He has been an outstanding runner since his freshman year. He picked the wrong time to be born, because he has had, I mean, he could have won multiple state championships. But Owen Powell not only is the same grade, but they're in the same division, 3A. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where he's just he's going to Stanford. He's a really accomplished runner and very talented, and has Owen Powell in his 3A, and they're the same grade.
I remember having a conversation with Vincent Recupero's coach, John O'Leary. I think this was during the cross country season or something like that, after Vincent's freshman year of track. And I told them, Vincent's going to be the first one to ever break 4 minutes in the mile in the state of Washington. I was completely wrong, because it was Owen Powell, of course, but I, when Vincent Recupero is 100% healthy, and gosh, he's been dinged up left and right with so many different things the last couple of years, when Vincent Recupero is 100%, he to me is on the same level as Owen Powell. I truly believe that because he's as hard of a worker as Owen is, and he's as talented of a runner as Owen is. I think, you know, Vincent might be a little bit better from the longer distance standpoint. Heck, Vincent, you know, when it's all said and done, maybe a steeplechaser. I mean, he's tall, he's lean, he could thrive in the steeplechase. I hope that, you know, this is an opportunity for him to, you know, just go for it. Like, this is your last Washington State meet. You're never going to get an opportunity to wear that Bishop Blanchette uniform anymore. You're not going to be able to get a chance to run at Mount Tahoma High School around that track as many times as you have in the past. I mean, you've been to the state meet 4 years in a row. And so has Owen Powell. But their freshman year, it was Vincent that was getting all the attention because Vincent was running like, you know, 407, 406 for a 1600. Owen was running like 417. And we didn't know what was to come from Owen Powell. But, you know, that's Vincent's a guy I'm really rooting for this weekend. And I wish him nothing but the best this weekend.
And then Duncan Frisbee Smith, you mentioned before, also fast time under 410. Be running in Yakima this weekend.
91 degrees is what the high is going to be.
Oh, gosh.
In Yakima. And it's a dry heat too, being in central Washington, you know, and it's not necessarily, you know, for some of those West Side schools, they have to, it's Yakima's not at sea level. Like, it's about maybe 2000 feet of elevation. Like, that's not, I mean, it doesn't sound like a ton, but you know, if you're not used to running in that gain, like that could play a factor in, you know, how some of those races are going to go over there. But at the end of the day, I see these times that Frisbee Smith has done compared to what everybody else has done. I don't think there's anybody that can compete with him.
Now we go to the 3200. Those are finals on Saturday. And we've got the Rodriguez sisters competing in the 3A and some pretty strong runners in the 4A too.
Yeah, the 3A race is kind of you got to go with the Rodriguez sisters just because they're kind of the outlier and they're far ahead of where everybody else is. But that 4A race should be a really fun one to watch. Just, you know, from a competitive standpoint, you got so many girls that were within that 10:30, 10:40, 10:50 range. And that's what's great about the state championships is you can see kind of the unexpected happen. I remember there was, you know, I go back to Owen Powell's sophomore year when he won the 1600, and the guys that were in that field, I thought there was a lot better athletes than Owen when he was in that 1600, and Owen was able to come away with that state title as a sophomore. So with regards to this, you know, the 4A girls 3200, you got Latham West, you got Haley Cossey from Mount Si, Selena Van Gerder from Jackson, just girls that are so competitive with each other, so familiar with each other that, you know, whether they've seen each other in track or they've seen each other in cross, they know what each other's strengths are. They know what each other's weaknesses are. And so if they can play off of those throughout the entire race in 8 laps, I mean, doesn't necessarily sound like a long race, but you know, things can shift after a mile. Things can really ramp up or maybe things can slow down. So if you go into the right mindset and have the right plan, things should go well. If you're not prepared, anything can really happen. So it's kind of a coin flip when it comes to that 4A girls race, but that'll be a fun one to watch.
And the boys 3200, the magic number is 9 minutes in the 3200. There's many, many boys that have done that in Washington. The top four times were done at Arcadia, I believe. And you're going to have some, just like the girls 4A, you're going to have for the, at least the larger schools, you're going to have some competitive, compelling 3200 boys races.
Yeah. The one guy I am really rooting for this weekend is Cade Brownell from Mount Spokane. I mean, I've gotten to know him in the last couple of years. He's had an opportunity to race at national level at Foot Locker Nationals 2 years in a row now. And gosh, he's just been so close to winning a state title and just been, like I said, just right there, has done all the work to put himself in a position, has just come up a little bit short. I think this 3200 race is where he gets the job done. I think this is where, you know, even without Owen Powell, because Owen's just going to be doing the 8 and 16, I really think this is Cade's opportunity to get that elusive state title. And it won't be easy by any means. I mean, you got Recupero back in the mix after the 1600. But and then you throw Max Bellette from there from Shorewood, who had a really good, 2 mile race down here at the Oregon Relays. But if there's one guy who's, you're rooting for, a blue collar type of kid who knows what it takes to work hard and to get the job done when it matters most and it hurts, I think that's the biggest thing is, a lot of these guys are going to be coming back after a 1600 and they'll have a day of rest, but there's going to be a lot of emotions after that 1600, depending on what happens in that 1600, it could be like, four guys shoulder to shoulder with each other right across the line. And they're separated by tenths, hundredths, thousandths of a second. And so it, depending on if you're on the winning end of that, if you're, the guy that's fourth or fifth, how do you emotionally respond back, a day, 2 days later after a race like that? So that's, I think Saturday is a special day, especially at the Washington State meet, because not only is it championship Saturday, it's the last day of the quote unquote season in the state of Washington. It's one of the last days for all sports in the state of Washington, because everything's just kind of wrapping up and people are, they're in their finals. People are starting to get ready for summer break. Kind of just laid all the light out there and let the good emotions take over that race. I think that's where it boils down to is, when you go into a race like that and you've got all these feelings, just try to channel it the best way possible and don't overthink it. Just go out there and do the best you can. So I feel like I'm preaching to the choir right here and giving some sort of seminar, but that's what I love about this time of year is you've done all the work, now go out there and show it.
In the 4A boys race, Cooper Boyle, I'm going to show my ignorance with Seattle geography, but it seems like Cooper Boyle and Isaac Benjamin's Cooper Boyle of Tahoma and Isaac Benjamin of South Kitsap are near each other, or at least in the same district area where they, I have a lot of pictures of them running next to each other. I've gone to meets and they're always next to each other.
I mean, I know Tahoma and South Kitsap, they're in relatively the same area. God, I might be showing my ignorance.
Well, I know South Kitsap's across the sound and Tahoma's in the east side, but I think they're in the same district area. You know what I mean? Where they meet to go on to, or
yeah.
They go.
I mean, Tahoma's in the Maple Valley area. And so that's kind of near the Tacoma area as well. But okay. Those are two guys I've really kind of we focus so much on Owen Powell, Vincent Recupero, Cade Brownell, but Cooper Boyle and Isaac Benjamin don't get the love and appreciation that they should get. I mean, we're talking about, these are guys are 852, 3200 meter runners. Mm-hmm. Like, that's legit. Like, we're not sugarcoating the fact that, we're in this day and age now of people are running under 850. Like, that's the new 9 minutes. Like, no, 852 is still really good because right. You're still running 426 miles back to back. So it's not like they're running slow by any means. So it'll be fun to watch those guys, go at it with one another. Both guys, I think they have a chip on their shoulder. Two of them that are, trying to get an opportunity to win a 4A state crown, I think, in track for the very first time. So, anytime that when that's on the line, that there's pressure, but it's a good kind of pressure because you expect so much of yourself. And then that's what makes the racing so much fun. It's like, all right, I think I'm better than you. No, I think I'm better than you. All right, let's just go settle it on the track now.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Keenan. There's going to be some great races over 3 days, east of the Cascades, west of the Cascades, the outstanding Washington athletes running super fast times. It's going to be a great meet.
Yeah. And also, I mean, if you're a track fan through and through, you love everything outside of the distance, of course, if you're at the big school meet, be sure to go watch the boys discus. Because it's got one of the best discus throwers, not just of all time in the state of Washington. It's got one of the best discus throwers in the country. He ranks seventh all time in this event, Simon Rosselli from Meade High School. He'll be really one to, I think he'll be fun to watch. I've watched him in person now, I think, two times. And every time I've seen him, he's broken the state record. Wow. So I'm not saying I'm the good luck charm by any means, but when I'm at the meet, Simon does throw pretty far. And then also at the big school meet is a pole vaulter, Chase McGee from Camas, who
17.5 or something?
Just this last month broke the all-time state record which I think lasted for, I want to say lasted 54 years in the state of Washington. No athlete had ever cleared, you know, over 17, 4.5. I think the original bar was at. I mean, it's been a long time. And also, again, showing how much I've paid attention to the last couple of years to Washington. But regardless, though, it will be a treat to watch these athletes compete in the state meets. But you know, don't just, you know, focus in on just watching a certain particular event. Be sure to, you know, go watch other stuff that's going around the stadiums.
Yeah, there was at the Jesuit Twilight Relays. And then I went to another meet at the state fair. There was an athlete from Curtis that's really fast in the 100 and the 200. Mm-hmm. There's some really great athletes all over the state meet. I was at the CIF Masters, and somebody said to me, like, I was just a fan. I was just walking through the stands, and they're like, I don't know if this was a guy that hadn't been to a track meet. He goes, there's a lot to watch at a track meet. I go, it's kind of like a circus. You know, you can watch, turn your head, and there's so much to see. It'll be fun.
Well, depending on how you view it. I mean, high jumpers, pole vaulters, that could be your circus, you know, people jumping around.
Yeah.
To some degree. But yeah, no, always like, be sure to watch these meets, support these kids, support these coaches, support these fans. Like, a lot of these people put a lot of hard work and dedication into the sport. So it'll be a fun weekend, and I'm excited to see what goes on in Tacoma and Yakima.
All right. Thanks, Keenan. And we will see you soon and have you back on later on this summer. Thank you.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ken.
We want to thank our guest, Coach Albert Kawana of Crystal Springs Uplands, for coming on and talking about California. Thor Ebenson of IW Wells talking about Oregon, and Keenan Gray of Dystat talking about Washington. It's my goal to have pictures of many of the races from those three states and hopefully get those up for you Sunday and into Monday, and so you can download those. You know, we're a volunteer organization. We're doing it for fun, so we're going to do the best we can to try to cover as many distance races as we can this weekend. So look for those photos when the meets end on the following days after Saturday. And thank you so much for watching and listening. And always remember, the West Coast is the best coast.